God's grace, his mercy, his peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are certain words which have an immediate impact for us Christians. Grace, for example, is one. Resurrection, redemption, salvation, repentance. All those, just the words themselves, carry with them a wonderful understanding of who and what God and we are about in faith. Well, there's one more word I'd like to give you this morning, which carries that same sort of impact. And that word is nevertheless. That's it. Now, let me set the scene, if I may. It's early in Jesus' ministry. He's called his disciples to follow him, and they had signed up, but their commitment is rather shallow right now. They don't exactly know who he is or what he's about. In fact, Peter, as we see in a little bit, calls him master, which is a term of respect, but beyond that, not a whole lot of commitment. Well, Jesus comes to the shore of Lake Gennesaret, apparently near Capernaum, because that's where Peter was from, and now Jesus goes to his boat and asks Peter to put out a little bit from the shore so that he can teach the crowd. They've gathered and they're pressing in on him. And Peter gets up from cleaning his nets. He'd been out all night fishing. And he goes and he puts the boat out a little way from the shore. Well, when Jesus finishes teaching, he turns to Simon Peter and says, "Put your boat out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." You can almost hear what Peter's thinking by what he says. "Master," he says, "we've toiled all night and not caught a thing." I mean, can't you just hear it in your mind? Peter's a professional fisherman. And he would know that right now the chances of catching a fish in the daylight are about as good as him becoming the emperor of Rome. Night is the time to catch fish, because at night the fish won't get scared by the shadow of the net like they would during the day with the sun coming across it. You don't catch fish like this with a net, with a great big fishing net, in the daytime. Besides that, he's saying here, we're dog tired. We need to rest. We need to clean our nets. We need to get our boats ready for tomorrow night. "Master, with all due respect," you can almost hear him thinking it out loud, "you know a lot about God and Scripture and salvation, but you don't know diddly about fishing. I'm the professional fisherman. Who are you to tell me how to fish?" Ever felt that way? A little bit like Simon Peter? That you suggest to the Lord in your thoughts and your prayers that you know more about your business than God does? I think we all do at some point or another. When the Bible tells us to do one thing, or we know what's right and wrong, and yet it would be so much easier to do this than to do what is right, we think to ourselves, "God, you don't understand my situation. I know it better than you do." You know, take, for example, forgiveness. Okay. Aren't there times when we say to ourselves and to the Lord, "You know all this business about forgiving our enemies and doing good to people who hurt us? You know, that really makes no sense in the real world in which we live." And if we do that, people are going to think we're weak. "We can't do that, Lord." Or, you know, for young people, "Lord, you know, I know what the Bible says about sexuality, but look at the day and age in which we live. That whole idea is just so old-fashioned. I mean, why get married? Lord, we're committed. We can live together. It's okay that way." Isn't that how too many people think, especially even Christians? Let's go back to the Sea of Galilee. Peter tells the Lord, "You know, we've toiled all night and caught nothing." But then Peter says this very important word, "Nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the nets." You know that word, "nevertheless"? It's a wonderful, glorious word of faith. It's a faith word. Because what it says in that one word, "nevertheless," is that no matter what the circumstances may be, I'm going to trust God enough to do what God says, even when I don't know how it's going to turn out or why you want me to do it, Lord. It's a word that trusts not our experience, not what we think is right or wrong, not our traditions or anything else, but it's a word that says, as Peter does here, I'm going to trust your word. That's what Peter says. Lord, at your word, I will let down the nets. Now, what that means is, at your word, I'm going to rely on your word. See, that's our hope as Christians, to rely on God's word, to put ourselves onto the promises of God and trust those no matter what. And that's what nevertheless that Peter says here means. You know, a lot of people have the idea that faith just means I acknowledge God or even applaud God. But faith is so much more than that. For those of you who are mathematically inclined, faith equals trust plus obedience. Quite simply, that's what faith is. Now, let me give you some biblical examples of that. Other people in the Bible who said, nevertheless. One man said it when it cost him everything. That was when Daniel said, nevertheless, I will obey God instead of the king. There was a time when nobody would listen. And Noah said, nevertheless, I'll trust God's word to me and build that boat. What do you do when your own family turns on you? Jeremiah said, nevertheless, I'm going to do what God wants me to do and proclaim his word. What do you do if you're wronged? Deeply and seriously wronged. Joseph said, nevertheless, I'm going to forgive. What do you do if you know what's coming? Prison and death. Paul said, nevertheless, I'm headed to Jerusalem and then to Rome. And what do? If God tells you to do something or go someplace and you have no idea where or what. Abraham said, nevertheless, I'm going. What do? If what God's word tells you to do is against all common sense. David said, nevertheless, I'm going out there to face Goliath with a sling and a stone. What do? When life doesn't turn out like you expected it to. John the Baptist said, nevertheless, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What do when everyone is absolutely against you from the top on down? Esther said, nevertheless, I'm going to follow God. And what do when you stand alone? When it's just you, and you stand to lose everything by doing that. Well, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, nevertheless, we will not deny our Lord. And now there's Peter, who says, nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I will let down the nets. Now, sometimes when we do what God says, when it goes against common sense, when it goes against our experience, when it goes against what other people would say to us about it, when our crowd of friends would kind of turn their noses aside because we would do what God wants rather than what's popular or culturally acceptable. Well, sometimes it takes a long time to see the result of that, the reward that God brings with faith. Sometimes we have to wait till we get to heaven to see the reward of that. But not in this circumstance with Peter. Let's see what happens. Peter, at the Lord's word, lets down the nets. And the catch of fish is so great that it fills the net, threatens to swamp the boat. He calls to James and John, his partners, to bring their boat. And their net is filled to the point of the boat sinking. They could barely make it back to land. Nobody had to tell Peter, this professional fisherman, that he had just witnessed some kind of miracle. He knows that. And he suddenly begins to see who Jesus is. You know, and sometimes that happens with us. We go along so long in our lives, and it doesn't matter if you were baptized as a child in the Lutheran church, or if you were baptized later, or if you grew up in the church or not, when you come to faith later. At some point in our lives, we come to where we see the Lord's hand at work. And we begin to realize, it hits us, who this is that we worship and that we trust. Lord, Peter says as he falls on his knees, notice he doesn't call him master now, he calls him Lord. Now he's got a lot more personal connection than he had before. Lord, I don't deserve to be around you. I'm a sinful man. My faith is just too small. He's afraid. And why not? He stands in the presence of the living Lord now. And how does Jesus answer him? Don't be afraid. I've got plans for you, big plans. From now on, you'll be catching people instead of fish. I've got a future out there for you that you can't even begin to imagine. You know, that same word holds true for us too. For each one of us, whether young or old, the Lord has plans for us. Even now, that's, you know, people ask me at times, why am I still here? Why hasn't the Lord taken me home? And they ask that as they get older or get sick or like that. It's because the Lord still has plans. He still has work for you to do. Good work. Glorious work. The work of heaven. That's what Peter hears now from the Lord. You know, and through all this, I hope the message is so clear that comes through from Peter's words and Jesus' words, that there are times when Jesus calls us to let down our nets, if you will, to do what he has told us to do in his word and rely on that, and to trust that he's going to see us through. And yet so often, that's where we get stuck. Right there. We're like the African impala. I said I would tell you about him. The Africa Impala, for those of you who don't know, is a supercharged deer. You go to the zoo and see them. They have a vertical leap of 10 feet. They can broad jump 30 feet. Think about that. Now, you would think that being the case, that zoos around the world would find it hard to keep such an animal enclosed. Well, they don't have trouble with that. In fact, it's rather easy. Because man has discovered something about the impala. It will not jump unless it can see where it's going to land. And therefore, a wall, a solid wall, just 6 feet high, is sufficient to keep them from trying to get out. See, and that's where lots of Christians, lots of us, me included, have an impala problem at times. We don't always have all the answers. And we can't sometimes see where that leap of faith is going to take us, or what the letting down of nets is going to serve. And so we end up sometimes doing nothing, or sometimes doing exactly the wrong thing than what we're supposed to do. We're like that impala. We're so afraid that we just don't do anything. And yet here comes Peter with this faith word, which applies to you and applies to me and applies to every single Christian. Nevertheless, I don't care what it looks like. Nevertheless, I'm going to do what God says. Nevertheless, I don't care what it feels like. I'm going to rely on God's word. Nevertheless, I don't care what people say about me. I'm going to go the way that God says to go. Nevertheless, I don't care if I've tried it before and it didn't seem to work. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Nevertheless, I don't care if it's going to cost me some pride. I'm going to follow the Lord's word. Nevertheless, I don't care if it doesn't make sense. God knows what he's doing. And nevertheless, I don't care if it makes me look foolish. Because in God's eyes, I won't be. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, nevertheless, over and above everything else, even when it makes no sense at all. Because I refuse to be dominated by what my eyes see, or what my ears hear, or what my nose smells, or what my fingers touch. I'm going to be dominated rather by faith, faith that relies on the Word of God and will see me through not just today, but tomorrow and for all the days of my life till God takes me home. Nevertheless, means I'm going to put hell on notice. I'm going to put the devil on notice. That I'm not going to quit serving the Lord. That I'm not going to give up. That I'm not going to turn that switch of faith off when things don't seem to go easy. That I've got one more time in me to put those nets down. That I'm going to rely on God's word and trust that he will see me through. That's what your faith means for you. To confront everything that you confront in life and in yourself and say, nevertheless, I'm going to trust God. Now, I gave you all those examples of people in Scripture before, and they're just a few. But let me give you one more. One more nevertheless. And you know it. A terrible Thursday night in Jerusalem, in a garden, when all the hate of the world and all the hate of hell itself is coming down on Jesus. And there he is in that garden. His friends have fallen asleep. They couldn't even stay with him. And there in a prayer that is so strong that it looks like he's sweating blood, he says, Lord, Father, if there's any way to fulfill my mission without facing that cross, let that pass from me. Nevertheless, and that's the word he uses, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, Jesus relied on the word of Scripture for himself, too. The word that said that God would not allow his Holy One to see corruption. The word that trusted God that after 3 days he would rise again. The word that Jesus relied on, that God the Father would vindicate him. And so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That is the name above every name. Because Jesus too said, nevertheless, I will obey. I will go. I will do, I will pray, I will forgive, I will repent, I will say I'm sorry, I will sow the seed, I will take the next step, I will fill the jars with water, I will go dip 7 times in a muddy Jordan River, and if need be, I'll march around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. And if it comes to it, I will make the prophet a loaf of bread with my last bit of flour that was to be for me and my child, and I will trust God. And I will let down my nets in the deep water. Because nevertheless, come what may, I will rely on the word of the Lord to see me through. That's a good word. It's a word for you. It's a word for me. It's a word for every Christian, whatever circumstance, wherever you find yourself or wherever you don't find yourself, however you feel or don't feel, however much people look awkwardly at you or don't like what you say or do, nevertheless, I will do what the Lord says and rely on Him to bring me through. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds by faith to eternal life. Amen.